Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life, your busy day, to join me today on my radio program. Today is Monday, January 17th, 2022. I want to talk to us about the longing, the meaning of life, the quest, the search for the meaning and purpose in life today on the cross in the desert. The great apologist and Oxford teacher C.S. Lewis describes in his books that inward thirst that all human beings have for something better in life. He calls it a longing. In his classic book, Until We Have Faces, Lewis writes, quote, "The sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing to reach the mountain, to find the place where all beauty comes from." Human beings are on a spiritual quest to find satisfaction, an inward longing to discover that something that will bring fulfillment and meaning to their lives. Lewis proclaims, quote, that if I discover within myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world, close quote. Well, philosophers down through the ages have been on a quest for the meaning of life. From Socrates to Plato, and many others, the quest to discover what is ultimate reality has consumed the thinking of man for thousands of years. In all of that time, has the search yielded any solid answers? Well, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, on the night before his crucifixion, made a startling claim to his disciples in regard to the quest for the meaning of life. Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," John chapter 14, verse 6. What a bold declaration. Jesus was saying to his disciples, in essence, if you want to know the way, I am the way. If you want to know the truth, look at me. And if you are on a quest for the meaning of life, come to me. I can just imagine the astonishment on the faces of every philosopher if they were listening to Jesus on that fateful night. They would have had many questions and would have called Jesus to account for such a bold statement. They may have asked, "How can you say that? What qualifies you, Jesus, to make such an audacious claim?" Well, that's a fair question. How can Jesus make such a bold statement? "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Well, let's take a look at his life's record. During his earthly ministry, Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. He showed compassion on the hurting and broken and gave hope to those who were despaired of life. Therefore, Jesus can make the claim that if you want life, life as it was meant to be, come to me. Well, but Jesus also exposed false prophets and spent much of his time correcting the religious leaders for misrepresenting the law of God. He never lied. He always spoke the truth. Therefore, Jesus can make the claim that if you want to know the truth, come to me. Last of all, but most important, the claims of Jesus were not just empty words written in a book thousands of years ago to inspire people down through the ages. The claims of Jesus were made the night before his crucifixion. The next day, the religious leaders had Jesus tried for blasphemy, for claiming to be God, and he was nailed to a wooden cross. He died an excruciating death, but 3 days later, he rose up from the grave and appeared to his disciples. The claims of Jesus were vindicated by his resurrection. Jesus is not a dead philosopher, but he's a living Savior. He not only made these bold claims, but is alive to demonstrate that everything he said is true. So if you were on a journey for the quest of the meaning of life, I invite you to seriously consider the claims of Jesus. They have stood the test of time and have changed the lives of billions of people. Therefore, I believe I have made the case for this bold claim. But, excuse me, he's just having a real problem today with throat. In response to the quest for the meaning of life and the search for the meaning of life, there is the issue of truth. And because we live in a postmodern age, a reaction to reason and modernism, we have a denial of absolute truth in our culture today. We have a loss of authority. We have a disdain for anything sacred, for any kind of authority, for any kind of truth. The claim is you have your truth and I have my truth. But wait a minute. What is truth? Philosophers, sages, and theologians have debated down through the centuries as to what is truth. If you ask a college student on any given campus what is truth, you are bound to receive answers such as everyone has an opinion or preference, to each his own, and whatever I decide is right. But 2,000 years ago, standing before Pontius Pilate, Jesus didn't give an opinion or quote from any of the philosophers. Instead, he made a startling affirmation as to what truth was. He looked Pilate directly in the eyes and declared, quote, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize what I say is true. John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate couldn't believe his ears. Who does this man think he is? Instead of bowing down in awe and worship, Pilate mocked Christ's declaration, and he scoffingly replied, what is truth? Well, and again, this is the mood of our culture. It carries on the same mocking as Pontius Pilate and ridicule about the nature of truth. Truth is really irrelevant. Truth is what I decide is right. That's the mood of our culture, casting aside all respect and ridiculing and rebelling against any recognized authority. Our culture has abandoned any standard of righteousness. And really, they've replaced it with their own whims and wishes. Truth has been reduced to preference and whatever feels right at the moment. And so as a consequence, there's no wonder that there is violence in school, kids killing other kids, kids murdering their parents, when truth is abandoned, we lose our moral sensitivity and begin calling what is evil good. The sad lament in the book of Judges was that, quote, everyone was doing what was right in the sight of their own eyes. As a result, there was a moral and spiritual decay resulting in the judgment of God. So earlier in John's gospel, as I've already quoted, Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Three chapters later, Jesus prayed to his Father, saying, teach them your word, which is truth. John 17:17. The Bible presents God as a God of truth and integrity. But unfortunately, most of our culture has the cynicism and unbelief of Pilate, mockingly saying, what is truth? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you care about what is true and false? Jesus says that if you love the truth, then you will believe and obey him. Our culture is suffering from, quote, truth decay. And the only remedy is proclaiming Christ as the truth and affirming that his word is the final authority. If you want a life of integrity that will stand against the storms of life when all the other foundations are crumbling, then come to Christ and be secure and safe in the truth. So on your quest for the meaning of life, the issue of truth is vital. This is not an area where we can say, well, this is just your opinion. There are so many opinions. Truth is very relative. It's whatever you decide is true, is true. That is a crumbling foundation. And in the search for the meaning of life, unless we are anchored to the truth, our lives will crumble at the first notion of a storm. When the wind and the waves hit, our foundation is gone. That's what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7. If we believe his word and we build on the foundation of his truth, when the storms come, the foundation, though rattled, will stand. It will stand the test of time. It will stand against any storm. The quest for the meaning of life is a very individual and personal one. But if it is based upon who Jesus is and what Jesus taught, then this quest for the meaning of life will be extremely successful. We can have a quest looking for the meaning of life. We can search the world over in its religious systems and come back empty. We can be looking for truth, but in all the wrong places. Of the 4,200 religious claims in the world, only one has an empty tomb, and that is Jesus. All of the religious leaders, philosophers, and sages are dead and still in the grave. Jesus has risen from the dead. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is, as I've said time and time again, not a matter of religion, but a matter of relationship. So in the search for the meaning of life, if we come to Jesus, we have the assurance of truth. We have the assurance of salvation. We have the assurance of eternal life, of forgiveness. We have a foundation that will stand the test of time. Right now in our culture, besides the loss of truth, the absolute notion of truth, we are facing a deadly virus, a pandemic. And unless our lives are dedicated to the one who died and rose again from the grave on the third day, our life will have no hope. We can be on a quest for the meaning of life and end up at a dead end with no hope. And so while all of us are driven Driven by the Wind, the name of a book I wrote, we may have a calling to the ocean, like my character Tara did, but unless we are anchored to the firm anchor of Christ, our boat will drift endlessly in a sea of relativism, and we will have no hope. So I've today introduced us to two very important texts of Scripture in the quest and the search for the meaning of life. Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then he came along and he said to Pilate, "I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." So what will be your decision in your personal quest, in your search for the meaning of life? What will be your response to the claims of Christ? What will be your attitude toward the claims of the one who died and rose again? This is vital in your quest for the meaning of life. If you come to Christ, you have a foundation that is trustworthy and true. You are believing the God of truth who said, "Thy word is truth." His word is the truth. He is the truth. He is everything that your heart is longing for. C.S. Lewis, from the time he was a child, had a longing. He wanted to know what that longing was all about, and one day he discovered that God had given him that longing that was based on the truth of who God was. And he wrote, "The sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing to reach the mountain, to find the place where all the beauty comes from." C.S. Lewis was on an ultimate quest for the meaning of life. And later on he wrote, "If I discover within myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." This morning on the cross in the desert, I have given you an example that if you're on the quest for the meaning of life, there is no greater example than the example of Jesus. You may say, "Well, I don't know. There's just so many philosophies and religions, and I have to choose something that I am happy with, that fulfills my desires, that meets my standards." But you see, the problem is it's me-centered, me, myself, and I. The real question is it true? Because if it's not true, no matter how much it meets my goal of happiness, in the end, it's a pathway to hell. It's the broad way that leads to destruction. Jesus said, "Choose the narrow road." He's the narrow road. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few of those that find it. So you have this option, yourself or Christ. So what you should be asking is not, does it make me happy? Not, does it tickle my insides? Not, does it give me a good feeling? Truth is not based on feelings. It shouldn't be any of those things that decide your quest. It should be that you ask the question, is what I believe true? Is what I believe give me not just fulfillment, but truth? Because in the end, if you're on a pathway of feelings, emotions, it's going to end up in the broad road that leads to death and destruction. There is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end, are the ways of death, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. I want us to take a couple of minutes now and listen to a song with great depth and great appeal. This is by Michael Sweet of Striper. It's all about what I've been talking to you about this morning. It's called The River. Let's listen.
If you're hurting,
that is a song of great beauty and truth. And sometimes when we hear something like this, we let the lyrics kind of drift by. I want us to take just a little bit of time on the subject of the search for the meaning of life and really look carefully at these beautiful lyrics. If you're hurting, I'll take your pain. Well, all of us are hurting to some extent. And this is the claim, I'm going to take your pain. If your life is dry and weary, I'll bring the rain. If you're searching, then search no more. If you're drifting on an ocean, I'll be the shore. It's a beautiful invitation from Jesus who said, come to me who were weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says also, I'll see the scars that you hide. I've kept the tears that you've cried. They were not in vain. And every prayer that you've prayed, I have treasured and saved. My love will never change. If you're looking for the river that runs with healing water, bring yourself to me, and I will wash you in an endless peace. This is a beautiful song. I'm your Savior, and I'll save you tonight. If you're blinded by the darkness, I'll be the light. If you're hopeless, I'll be your faith. If you're lost, I'll lead the way. It's very obvious who this song is talking about. I don't need to explain that to you. It is by invitation. Christ compels us. He persuades us to come to him, but he doesn't force our hand. The beauty of Christianity is that it is a choice. It is the response to God's grace, a response to God's truth. But again, excuse me, again, it is your choice in the end. Now, I realize that I've stepped on some religious toes, Calvinism, Arminianism, but it's not my purpose to get into that today, but to present to you the claims of Christ. We have been looking very, very carefully at the quest, at the search for the meaning of life today on the cross in the desert. But in the end, you have that option. You make that choice. God holds out his hand of grace to you. Jesus invites you to find rest and purpose and meaning in him. He invites you. This is not Islam where it's by the sword. Christianity, quote, conquers you by its love and not the sword. It's so much different in Christianity versus Islam and any other religious system. Christianity does not claim to be a way, but the way. It does not claim to have a drop or a corner on the truth, but to be the truth. And so in the end, it is your decision, but I cry out and I persuade you with all of my heart, in your quest for the meaning of life, come to Jesus. Find your hope, your salvation, your meaning, and purpose in him. You will never be disappointed. It is not an easy life. There are trials and tribulations. There is persecution. All of that is absolutely true. But Jesus has the words of eternal life. He is the only hope that saves the world. I want to thank you so much for inviting me this morning into your home, that you've listened patiently to this broadcast, and I pray that in the end it's made a difference in your life, that you will seriously consider the claims of Jesus, that you will listen to it very carefully, and you will make a decision based on his truth. Thank you so much today for joining me on the cross in the desert. God bless you. I will see you again next Monday. Thank you.